better to have it. Enjoyed your singing so very much, not only this evening, but really right through the entire weekend. I understand we do have a bit of a problem in the camp, however, and I'd appreciate your prayers on behalf of this particular problem that has developed. Apparently, Lance has the opportunity to take home a generator from one of the railway cars. Betty's giving him a hard time. She said it's either the generator or me. Now she's afraid it's going to be the generator. So pray for him, will you? Well, just make sure you put the seatbelt around the generator. Well, as I mentioned this morning, I'd like to take a brief look this evening at children, delight or disappointment. And I trust and pray that in your home they are the former, that you enjoy your kids. We found there was just one thing wrong with ours. Eventually they left home. And at times we wish they were still there in those days to be relived and enjoyed again. Turn with me, please, to the 127th Psalm. Psalm 127. And shall we read in at verse 3 of Psalm 127? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The Ephesian epistle, please, chapter 6. Verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And let's read at verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. Shall we read in at verse 1? This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Deuteronomy, please, chapter 21, for our final reading. Deuteronomy chapter 21. And let's read verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and a rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, and bring him out unto the elders of the city, and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Let's ask the Lord to bless us, shall we? Father, we approach thee again in the precious name of him we love. We do so realizing our deep need of thee, and coveting thy presence in a very real and precious way. And so we just pray this evening that the Spirit of God would be ever so near. Please speak to each and every one of us, we pray, in our Savior's worthy and adorable name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our brief study of the family, and we would certainly like to have had a longer period of time on the subject, we have looked at the father, we have looked at his spiritual relationship first with his God, and then as he sought to give spiritual leadership in the family, in the home. Then this morning we looked ever so briefly at the wife, and we looked together at Hannah, the gracious woman that God chose to favor with his blessing. She was a praying woman whose prayers were answered. Now this evening, thinking for a few minutes of children in the family, I'd like to think about obedience primarily. Obedience is a family affair. The husband is to obey his Lord. The wife is to submit to her husband, and the children are to obey their parents. And if that chain of obedience is lovingly followed, then there will be within the home a spirit of unity, of oneness, of happiness. And so the husband is in submission to his Lord. The wife is in submission to her husband. And finally, the children are in submission to their parents. Consider with me, children, what does God have to say about them? Well, first, in the passage that we read from Psalm 127, we learn that children are an heritage of the Lord. God blesses the family, the relationship between husband and wife with children. And those of us who have been privileged to have that precious, wonderful experience of children realize that the experience and the relationship between husband and wife will be made whole, perfect and beautiful as children arrive in the home. To know and enjoy the blessing of children is indeed a most wonderful experience. God spoke to Adam at creation's dawning. And when he did, he said, be fruitful and multiply the earth. It was God's desire that husband and wife, Adam and Eve in this instance, should bear children, and that the race should be multiplied. And I believe, beloved, it is still true today. That is God's desire and design for the marriage relationship. And any other kind of a relationship, men might call it what they will, but this is God's only blessed, appreciated, and honored relationship, the relationship between a man and a woman, between a husband and a wife. And there is no such relationship sanctioned by God that brings two of the same sex together. Absolutely none. It's a blasphemy. It's an abomination as far as God is concerned. A relationship between two of the same sex. And my Bible teaches me that children are an heritage of the Lord. I repeat, it's God's plan that parents, or husband and wife, I should say, become parents, that they bear children. Children will, in a day that's to come, if they have been raised in a godly, Christ-honored home, will, according to the Word of God, rise up and call their parents blessed. Her parents, my Bible tells me, will rise up and call her blessed, or happy, or right, are other renderings of the word. And so, as Christian parents, it is our desire, I'm confident, to raise children in such an atmosphere that as they grow and mature in their Christian experience as well as in their physical life, that they rise up and appreciate their parents and call them blessed. The glory of the children, the Word of God tells us, the glory of the children are their fathers. And how wonderful it is to see children who glory in their parents and appreciate who their parents are and what they have done for them. I still remember Phyllis coming to me one Sunday morning. A young woman who came from the community, accepted Christ as a result of being part of our Sunday school. And she was having some problems at home. We discussed them. I made some suggestions to her as to how she might gain her parents' support. They, of course, were not too excited about their daughter becoming religious or becoming a cultist. This was all new to them. And so Phyllis had a job to do to show that the experience that she now enjoyed as a relationship with the Lord Jesus was something that was going to strengthen her relationship with father and mother. One Sunday morning, I said to her, following the Lord's Supper, "Phyllis, how are things at home?" She glowed and she said, "Arnett, I love my mommy and daddy." You see, she had reached a point where she appreciated now her parents for who they are, for what they were doing for her. And now, as she sought to give them place in her life, God was honoring her in a closer, more precious relationship with her parents than now she loved by her own admission. You see, God honored, well-raised children, I believe, will be proud of their parents. And I believe the reverse is also true. I believe that children who have been raised in the fear of God, in the love of God, under the demands and the dictates of the Word of God, will be raised for the glory of God. And parents will be humbly grateful, proud and thankful for kids who are seeking to live for the Lord. And may that be your experience, and may that be mine. It is, of course, a father's ultimate responsibility. And I've tried to stress this from time to time during our talks this week. Dad, you are responsible to God for what goes on in your family and in your house. You are responsible to provide for the children and for your wife. You are responsible to shower your love upon them. You are responsible to meet their spiritual needs as well as their physical needs. And my Bible teaches me that as it is the ultimate responsibility of the fathers, according to Ephesians 6, verse 4. Ye fathers, the Word of God says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now I believe, and I believe very firmly and strongly, that that is a responsibility that is a shared responsibility. It's obvious, isn't it, that if father leaves for work at the beginning of the day, and after that the household comes to life, ultimately it will be mother's responsibility to see the kids off to school. Mom, I wonder if you have planned within your schedule for the early morning to have a brief time with the children. It might be a portion of the Word of God read, possibly something from the Proverbs that will guide them in their life for God and with God. And then to commit them lovingly into the presence of God before they leave the comfort and the safety of the home and before they go out to face the wickedness of the world. Take time to lovingly commend those children to the Lord. I said, it's the father's responsibility, but it's something that's delegated or it's agreed to between husband and wife, that I'm going to be responsible as a wife when it is my opportunity to share with the children we love these precious God-given things. And then it will be the responsibility, I believe, of the father, when the children are home, to give leadership in the family altar, the reading of the Word of God. Young brother asked me this afternoon how it's done. I want to encourage you, at the close of the supper hour, you guard ever so carefully a period of time, not a long period of time. Don't weary the kids with a long exposition from the Word of God. They know you're skillful in handling it. You don't need to prove it to them, Dad. But just ever so tenderly, read the Word with them. Maybe it's only a paragraph from a gospel. Explain it to them. Maybe give them the opportunity to discuss it. You may not read from the King James. It might be one of the other versions that might be more readily understood by the children. But make it a point of reading with them, talking with them about the things of God, praying with them, that God in turn might instill in them these precious, wonderful truths from the Word of God. And so ye fathers, bring them up in the nurture. A better word would be the training and the admonition or the instruction of the Lord. Instruct them in the things of God. They're getting instructions in the sciences and in the arts during the day. The most important part of the day should be when they are home and they are taught the things that are eternal. If children are to obey, I suggest they will not start at 17, 18, and 19. They start at 1, 2, and 3 years of age. And it seems to me, beloved, that there are two words that are fundamental to raising children for the glory of God. And I'm only going to deal with the first this evening. The first is that of obedience. Secondly, is discipline. And I believe with all of my heart in both. Children must learn early in their experience that they must obey their parents. And secondly, they must be disciplined in a loving, gracious, tender, meaningful way. One that drives home the point that they must obey when it is demanded of them. Obedience. We have the divine example. In the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, the NIV puts it this way, "And he," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "went down to Nazareth with them," that is with his parents, "and was obedient unto them." Who was it who was obedient to his parents? It was the eternal Son. It was God in the flesh. It was the incarnate Son, the one who spoke the world and the universe into being. But when he took upon himself the form of a man and was born of the Virgin Mary when he was a boy, he learned obedience to those parents, and he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was brought up by them, and he was obedient to them. Should there be any question then as to whether or not children should be obedient in the home? Most certainly not. Children should obey their God-given parents. My Savior did when he was here below. I think of the ultimate. The life that he has come to live for the glory of God has been lived. And ultimately, Calvary has been reached. And he's pinned to a cross. And wave after wave of the sufferings for sin burst upon his holy soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is experiencing the wrath of God. But before it happened, and in Gethsemane's garden, what was his prayer? What was his plea? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he was prepared, beloved, to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the obedience of a son. And young man, young woman, if you want to be used by God and for God, you must learn. You must learn obedience in the home. It is not only an obedience of act, but I believe it's an obedience of attitude. There are times when children have been corrected and when obedience has been rightfully demanded by parents. And those kids obey, but it is most reluctantly. You heard the story about the little fellow who was being disciplined, and he was sat in the corner for a given period of time, and he refused to stay there until finally some external force was applied, and he did eventually sit down. But looking at his mother, he said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. He was obeying, but the attitude was wrong. And so God wants you, dear fellow, dear girl, to obey the Lord, to obey your parents. I believe it is more important. There is only one thing that equals a teaching of obedience, and it is this. It is the plan of God's salvation. Make abundantly certain that those children in your family learn that God expects them to obey Him, acknowledging their sinnership and accepting Him as Lord and as Savior. It's a must. They must be taught it early in life. We mentioned this morning about Hannah, that woman of prayer who before the birth of her son prayed for him. And God honored that. And what happened? Why, the young man that had been taught obedience, I'm confident, and the young man that was given over to the Lord, there came a night in his experience when he said, Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And he was prepared to hear the voice of the Lord and to obey the voice of the Lord. And if you and I as parents want our children to obey God, where does it start? It starts in the home. And it starts in the very early days of infancy. May we then seek to teach our children that obedience is not an option. Obedience is a requirement of the holy God of the universe. And as Father, you are His representative. And you are making absolutely certain that children, your children, will obey him. You remember it was said of Timothy, as his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice taught him the word of God, It says in 2 Timothy 3:15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation." There's another interesting and beautiful rendering of that verse, and this is what it says: "And from a child, from a newborn, from one yet in the womb, thou hast learned the scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation." I believe, beloved, it is impossible to overstate the case for the Word of God in the home. And I want to encourage you, if you came to camp and you have been lax or careless about Bible reading habits in your home, you purpose before God, in consultation with your wife, that you are going to begin as of tomorrow to have a regular Bible reading time. Not a time to weary people, I repeat, but a time when the Word of God is given its rightful place within the family circle. And God, I believe with all of my heart, will honor it. In the teaching of obedience, it seems to me that there are a number of things that should be kept in mind. First, I would suggest that in teaching obedience to children, you stress the fact that God expects them to obey. I repeat, it is not an option. We had that in the Ephesian epistle, didn't we? Go there again as we look at the 6th chapter. And that first verse. Children, obey your parents sometimes in the Lord. You know, you just can't possibly read that. But what does it say? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Had we read that promise and that commandment as it was given in the Old Testament, it would read something like this: children, obey your parents that your days might be long upon the earth. If you want to live a long life, you must obey your parents, kids. That's the injunction of the Word of God. Children, obey your... But if you knew my parents, if you knew my parents, you wouldn't demand that of me. No, I wouldn't. But God would. God would. And that makes all the difference in the world. He demands it of you and of me. What does he say? Obey your parents in the Lord. May I put it another way? I'll put it this way. Obey your parents in the Lord. If you disobey your parents, you disobey the Lord. Now, some time ago as I was studying this, I was impressed with verse 22 as well. Notice it. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What's this saying? This is saying this: that children must obey their parents as they would obey the Lord. It means as well, from the verse we just read, 22, that wives are to submit to their own husbands as they submit to the Lord. And as far as the husband is concerned, his head is the Lord, so he must submit to the Lord. You see the chain, the relationship that exists? It's a husband obedient to the Lord, bowing in submission to him, obeying him in every area of life. It's a wife who is in submission to her husband because she wants to be submissive and obedient to the Lord. And it's the children being submissive and obedient to their parents because that's what the Lord expects of them. Beloved, I don't know how that grabs you, but that grabs me real good. There can be no fooling around on this matter of obedience. I repeat, It is not an option. There must be that reverence for God that makes me appreciate and makes my children appreciate the fact that He is a God of inflexible holiness. He is an omniscient God. He knows everything I do, say, and think. I can't put a thing over on Him. I might be able to fool my parents, but I can't fool God. And they are God's representative in the home. And I must give them, you must give them, the respect that God demands of you. There must as well not only be a reverence for God, there must be a respect for God-given authority. And in the home, the father is that ultimate authority. Again, there are times when he will delegate that authority to his wife, to your mother. And then you must obey your mother. At all times, they are in charge. At no time are the kids in charge of a home. And I've seen it. And it's chaos. Why? Because it is not godly order. So, parents who have taught their kids a reverence for God and a respect for God-given authority and the fact that God is the ultimate authority, let every soul, Paul writes to the Roman saints, be subject unto the higher powers. Let us teach our children the attributes of God, that God is a God of love. And sometimes that's as far as we go as parents. But God is more than a God of love. God is a God of inflexible holiness. He is a God of unyielding justice. He is a God who has standards that are high and holy. He is omniscient, omnipotent. He's righteous, He's just, He's merciful, He's gracious, and He's loving. Yes, praise God, He's loving. But He's all of these other things. Let us teach our kids an appreciation for these things. Let us teach as well our kids that the ways of God are ways we expect to be followed. Last evening, was it, as we looked at Abraham in the 18th chapter of Genesis, we learned that God said of Abraham, He will command His children after Him. And they will command their children. And my dear young brother, my dear young sister, if God in His goodness has given you children and you have a family and a home, you should be applying the principles of godly, devoted leadership that you should have learned in your home. And if by any chance you did not learn them, get down on your knees and ask God to teach them to you. And with a loving and a tender heart, you teach them to your children. They must obey. And if they disobey, then that's where the subject of discipline comes in. And I realize I'm really just giving you a half a loaf tonight. And it's not likely I'll deal with discipline in the morning. That would be a terrible way to end a family weekend, wouldn't it? But teaching them obedience, I repeat, we started early in life. I remember I had a good lesson taught me in my own home. Alan and his children were in our home. I've forgotten the occasion. But the older daughter had done something that had upset her father, and rightly so. And I heard my boy say to his daughter, I will tell you once, and if she disobeys, she knew that the fastest hand on the east was going to land on her behind and she was going to feel it. He told her. And he told her what to expect if she disobeyed. And I want to say just this as far as discipline is concerned. Don't be unreasonable. Don't be unreasonable. Show love and yet show godly discipline that makes the child realize I disobeyed, and I'm not going to disobey again. I learned my lesson. I did it once. I blew it, and I got caught. And so, within the home, we want to teach these truths and these things early in the life of the child. Cast thy bread upon the waters, said the wise man in Ecclesiastes 1 and 11 and 1, and thou shalt find it after many days. You see, the training experience is one that is prolonged. It takes a period of time. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Them that are weaned from the milk. So said Isaiah in the 28th chapter, verses 9 and 10. It is good for a man, said Jeremiah in Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. He learns the ways of God and the ways of life from loving parents, young in life. Doesn't it make good sense that he learned those things where he is loved, in the home, and before he gets out and learns them from the world with all of its filthy, wicked practices? Let us be realistic as we teach our children that they must obey. Manoah, the father of unborn Samuel, said in Judges 13 and 12, how shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? The NIV puts it this way, what is to be the rule of his life? You see, that child needs some guidance in life. He can't do things as he wishes. There must be an order, and he must be taught that order in his life. And obedience must be number one. And so, may we be realistic as we teach obedience. It is, I repeat, the father's responsibility. And then the mother has her responsibility. Let us be consistent as we teach obedience. Let's not give up. At times it's easy to take the easy route out and not demand of children certain things. And in failing to demand those things of them, beloved, we are selling them short. We're letting them down. Let us demand those things. I mentioned yesterday sometime about Helen's father. And he was consistent. If I promised them a nickel, they got it. If I promised them a licking, they got it. Whatever Dad Thompson promised, it was an accomplished fact, for good or for ill, as far as the child was concerned. Let us watch ourselves carefully. Let us be consistent as parents. Be careful and watch yourself closely. Teach them and to your children and their children after them, says Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. To teach these things to our children, that they in turn might teach them to others, to their children, in the days that come. Be patient with them as you teach obedience, but demand it of them nevertheless. They must learn that when Dad or Mum say something, that statement is not a statement, it is an order, it is a command, and it must be obeyed. It's issued in love, but it must be obeyed, because it is being done as unto the Lord. You remember, it was said to Samuel that she lent Samuel to the Lord as long as he liveth. And the child grew in favor with God and with man. A good learning experience sometimes takes repeated teachings of that particular lesson. I remember hearing Howard Hendricks some time ago at a conference. And Hendricks, as you know, is a very gifted speaker, very knowledgeable in these things. He said that every morning his son came downstairs, his mother said, "Did you make your bed?" And he would say, "No." And she would say, "Go up and make your bed." He said, you know how long she had to say that to him? It took 21 years before he learned he had to make his bed before he came downstairs. Now you tell me, isn't it reasonable? The kid messed the bed up in the first place. Therefore, should it not be his responsibility to make the bed? I believe it should. So tell him to go back upstairs and make his bed. He's going to learn obedience. And if he learns he can get away with that one, he'll try something else on you sometime. These are the things, I believe, that are required if we're going to teach children patience. Pardon me, teach them obedience. We have to be patient. We can't give up. It's a gain, and it's a gain, and it's a gain. And there will be times when it will be necessary to use the rod of correction. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It's still in the book, beloved. And we've seen some glaring examples of it. But it's here. And a child has to learn, you obey or you are punished. You know, there are all kinds of how to do booklets. Maybe you've seen that latest on the diet fad and craze. How to lose 10 ugly pounds. Cut off your head. Now, there's got to be an easier way. But the how to do boys have got all kinds of theories. But this book, the book of God, has a way. And we discipline. We expect obedience. Poet put it this way, thinking of those books on how to do it. Junior bit the meter man. Junior kicked the cook. Junior's antisocial now, according to the book. Junior smashed the clock and lamp. Junior hacked the tree. Destructive trends are treated in chapters 2 and 3. Junior threw his milk at mom. Junior screamed for more. Notes on self-assertiveness are found in chapter 4. Junior tossed his socks and shoes out into the rain. Negation that and normal. Disregard the same. Junior got in grandpa's room. Messed up his fishing line. That's to gain attention. See chapter 89. But Grandpa seized the slipper and yanked Junior across his knee, for Grandpa hadn't read a book since 1893. Maybe we should have our slippers in the ready position. You obey a loving command, or you are punished for it. Beloved, I believe with all of my heart it is the God-given responsibility of parents to demand obedience from their children. Let us make certain that the demands we place upon them are God-directed, that they are reasonable, and that the child can see reason in them. There may be times when you come down to the line and you say, my dear, I'm asking you, I'm telling you to do this because I believe it's in your best interest, and when the rubber hits the road, you obey me. That's it. That's it. You see, after all, kids, mom and dad care for you far more than you'll ever know. You'll never know how much they love you and care for you. The poet put it this way. Beneath the blood-stained lintel, we with our children stand. A messenger of evil is passing through the land. There's no other refuge from the destroyer's fate. Beneath the blood-stained lintel shall be our hiding place. The Lamb of God has suffered. Our sins and griefs he bore. By faith the blood is sprinkled above our dwelling's door. The foe who seeks to enter doth fear that sacred sign. But now the blood-stained lintel shall shelter me and thine. O thou who gave them, guard them. These wayward childish feet, the wilderness before them, the ills of life to meet. The Lamb is for the household. We trust them to thy care. Beneath the blood-stained lintel, Lord,
keep us ever there. Before those kids leave the home, place them under the protection of the blood. Mother, Dad,